So let's review here. So we got this machlokas about if you have kids. So machlokas is if you have a kids, and then they die, or can't have kids. Are you using the mitzvah or not? So Rufuna says you are, and Rabbi Yochanan says no. So Rabbi Huna says you are, because Ravasi, which is that the Ein Ben David Ba, Chiyachlo HaNeshama Shebegaf. Mashiach doesn't come until all the Neshamas from this container are gone, empty out. So therefore, as Rashi says, he holds the Tam of Puravu is because of this thing, and the reason Puravu. And therefore, once you had a kid, or even if he dies, so you're still removing him from the creating, the bringing in the Neshama, and therefore you Yotze. Where Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Says, lo sovra, al shavas yitzara, so it has to be the shavas, and there's no shavas. The whole idea is to populate the world. He's not populating the world, he dies. So he dies before he has any kids. It doesn't have any effect whatsoever on populating the world. So the machlokas is, is somewhat difficult. The whole thing of the neshamas is the strangest part. So we said last time, we said, let's forget about the tamei hamitzvos for a second. Let's try to define the thing itself. So he said, it would seem, Rav Huna is so simple, as you have the kid, yotze when you have the kids. That's the mitzvah, to have kids. So you have kids, yotze. That's it. I don't care what happens later. Look, the reason is because you want to populate the world. But halachically, that's it. You're yotze. It's like a regular mitzvah, you're yotze. But we said, when Rav Yochanan learns, we had two ideas, right? But the Rav Yochanan, I was saying, holds that the mitzvah is doesn't really have like a kiyum mitzvah. You never yotze the mitzvah. Rather, the mitzvah is your chayes biyosek and provo into bringing about this goal of l'shavas. The kiyum is really beyond reach. Is the idea of populating the world. You can never actually do it. It's something which happens after your life. But your chayes biyosek in it. But when you have banim, so you have a right to be mavatel. It allows you, the fact that you're in a situation which is omed to produce shavas, where the natural course of events will produce shavas, you have a right to be mevatel. That's the Mishnah saying. Lo yivatel elim ken yeshobanim. Having kids, two kids, which are assumed to live and assumed to have kids and have grandkids and all that, allows you to stop. But in the moment that if those kids die and it's not going to realize shavas, now you're chayiv again. Because the person is always chayiv and maintain and bring about the further population of the world. Just that you don't have to keep having more kids. You don't have to worry. Maybe they're going to die. You're not chayiv to worry about that. But once it does happen, so then you're chayiv to have them again. So he's holding the mitzvah is not constructed as a mitzvah that you're yotze. Rather, it's a permanent chayiv, but with the ability to be a pater. As opposed to Rav Huna learns, the reason why you stop with two kids is because that's the shear in the mitzvah. Once you have the kids, it's a game of mitzvah, like an ordinary mitzvah. Right? You're right. And the other way to define Rabbi Yochanan the same is why, is that the state of not having kids, of being lasohu, is a machayev of approval. So if you have kids, when you're single, so you're lasohu, you don't have kids, it's machayev. Then you yotze. Then if the kids die, so that's a newly emergent state of being childless, so it's a new machayev. Okay, it's another way to define Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, fine. So the question, though, is now let's turn to Rav Huna. This is what we're up to today. It's turning to Rav Huna. Is what's this idea that you chayev, that it seemed to be, he should just say simple, you have kids, you don't say. What do you have to start getting to this philosophy, Tam HaMitzvah, because the Neshama, the whole thing sounds contrived. So what's the point of that whole thing? Like, what do you need that whole thing? Just say, you don't say, you have kids. Right? So there's two questions. That's the first question. What's the point of getting into this whole time of mitzvahs? And second question is, what is this time of mitzvah and how does it really help? Right? Two different things. So let's take the first one first. What's the point of, why does anyone do this? Isn't it just simpler to just say, look, you had kids? Why are you yotze? Because you had kids. You're yotze. Simple. Is that so bothersome? Right? It's not ordinary to defend the halachic position by giving philosophy of the mitzvah. That's not the way you defend the position. Defend the position and say, because that's the mitzvah. You're supposed to have kids, and you had kids. So what do you have to start saying? Oh, he holds the reason is because of neshamas and all that. Well, who needs that for? That's not part of it, ordinarily part of a halachic discussion. The discussion is simply, he says, the halachic, because you had the kids. Right? So I think what Yaakov started to say, what Matt's saying is good, is that you have to say, is that, listen, there's two ways to formulate the thing halakhically, right? You could just formulate it as, like, you have kids and you don't take it. That's one way. The other way is, no, this other complicated way, which is that it's you have to constantly make sure that you bring about this kingdom of Shavas and whatever, however the other formulation, right? And he's saying is that it doesn't, he's holding it like this, is that the mitzvah of Peruvu is Peruvu Umaluas Haaretz V'Chavshua. It's to fill the world. Lo Sover Ala Shavas Yitzhar. That's this mitzvah. The mitzvah is a mitzvah which is built upon building the world. Now, to have kids doesn't build the world, right? Having kids doesn't build the world. What builds the world is maintaining kids, is having kids that live. To have babies who end up not making it doesn't build the world, right? So he's holding is that it's, you can't just say, no, it's formulated as a mitzvah, that the mitzvah is just to have the kids, and that's it, and then it's all over. Because it's like, it's against the whole idea of what Peruvu is. It's not the concept of Peruvu. So, given that Rabbi Yochanan is a valid formulation, that the mitzvah depends upon the kids being alive, so Rav Huna can't just say, no, it's just a technical ma'aseh mitzvah of picking up a lulav, or whatever. That's not, in this mitzvah, it's not appropriate, since this mitzvah is grounded in, all the way back, of Peruvu Melech Haaretz V'Chavshua, of filling the world, so it needs a defense. You can't just simply say, that's the mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, it's not just a technical tzuras mitzvah, which is like, you know, a ma'aseh of having a kid. What's having a kid? The nature of the mitzvah is clearly built upon building and filling the world. So therefore, the better formulation is clearly, the Rabbi Yochanan's formulation should be correct. Is that formulated in a way that the man, that brings about the goal of the mitzvah. The whole idea is that God's maintaining the world through commanding us in this mitzvah, and this is the way that the world is maintained, is through the fact that we're in the mechuyev to have and maintain kids. So it could be that's what the Gemara is holding, is that Rav Asi, although technically you could say that formulation, but you need to defend it. In other words, when there's two different ways to formulate a thing, it's holding here is that it would not be legitimate purely based upon technical halachic formulation considerations to just say it's a ma'aseh mitzvah having kids. What's having kids? It's an empty act. Just having a kid? What's the experience of having a kid? What does that do? So he has to make recourse to this neshama thing. This neshama thing, which we have to explain how it works, but is that which gives meaning and makes it a reasonable way to formulate for the Torah to construct the mitzvah. That formulation isn't reasonable if not for the fact that you bring in the fact of the neshamas. You need something more to make that the reasonable formulation. Because since this mitzvah is grounded in Milui Haaretz, so why not build that into the structure? Unless you hold that's an impossible structure, but Rabbi Yochanan held that structure, so it's too divorced from the whole idea of Peruvu by just saying it's a technical tzuras mitzvah. It's not a technical tzuras mitzvah. You can't pretend this is just a technical tzuras mitzvah. It's like, I'll give you an example. Let's say, I don't really know, I have not in the segiot or anything, but let's say you have to build a makia on your roof. Right? Let's say you build a makia on your roof. So you'll say, what's the halacha of a makia? Like, I'll say, oh, I'll use lava on my makia. And I'll have spaces in it, and my fence on my roof, I'll have spaces in it. Because look, technically speaking, that's a wall. I don't think that works. Right? Because the whole idea of the mitzvah is to build a wall that's going to protect people. So if the formulation of the thing were that it allowed for building a wall, which had holes in it, it would seem to be, look, technically speaking, you could say that as a shem achitza vis-a-vis Shabbos, vis-a-vis Sukkah, but that's ridiculous, because this mitzvah is not a technical... Now, certain mitzvahs are like technical, God wants you to be involved to do a certain action, a karbon, do an exact action. And the mitzvah is that you subordinate yourself to the system and you follow a step-by-step thing and their ideas that it brings to mind and whatever. So then you could say, look, that's the formulation. But there's other mitzvahs like makkah, which is clearly like a goal-oriented mitzvah, which is protecting life and not letting people fall off your roof. So if you can have a holy fence, that can't be the halakhic formulation. Like, you're not in the sugya, but you can know that it's not going to work. You know, I haven't done the sugya to know that I love it, but I'm fairly certain that a loved fence is not going to work for makkah. Because it's crazy. The whole mitzvah is clearly, it's not just tamei mitzvahs, it's protecting life. So, Peruvu is that kind of mitzvah? Is this a mitzvah which is given to Adam Rishon way back when, or commanded to him, told him, which is building the world. That's the nature of this mitzvah. Right? So now you have two ways to formulate it. So to say that the mitzvah is just to bring a child into existence, the mitzvah is not giving birth or, you know, coaching your wife while she's giving head in labor. It's not the mitzvah. This mitzvah is populating the world. Now, unless you'd say, and this is the only part which is a little tricky for me, is that I could have seen saying that you can't, there's no way to formulate the structure that way. Structurally, there's no way to pull it off. To say, what, you have to be Yotze at the end of your life, like that whole thing. But apparently Rabbi Yochanan held that that's a way to formulate it, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a fine formulation. So it's just like the Gemara holds that Huna needs justification. To just say the mitzvah is having kids. What's having kids? What is that? What's having a child? Having a child, lots of children, and they're not making it. So what's the mitzvah? Especially back then. So just to have a child, what does having a child even do? So that's not a good, even though technically speaking, you could formulate it that way. But the Gemara holds it's not an acceptable formulation in the nature of this mitzvah unless you defend it. It would be like, there's nothing wrong with halachically formulating a ma'akah as a mechitza. Halachically is perfectly fine. A mechitza, and we know mechitza works by Shabbos, it could have a hole in it, and that's a mechitza. And there's a shame mechitza, and there's lavud, and garasas, and garasik, whatever it is. But it's not acceptable. You can't just because you could technically define it that way, it's not the area, the particular halachic formulation of a mitzvah is based upon the nature of the mitzvah. So here, it could be much holding that in Peruvu, you need to justify saying that type of, to relegate Peruvu to a mere action of having a kid, giving birth to a kid, must be justified. And the way he justifies it is, because you're bringing the neshamas out of the storage house of neshamas. Which has to be explained, how that justifies it or whatever, that we haven't done yet. But why you need to justify it is because it's not a good formulation for this area. Here's a good point, is that, like, I think there's a difference between, like, philosophy. There's sort of two types of Tamei HaMitzvos. Mm-hmm. Two different types of Tamei HaMitzvos. Like, one Tamei HaMitzvos is, like, let's say, Basar HaChalav. You know? So, you're not allowed to eat Basar HaChalav. So, the Rambam, I mean, the different positions, but the Rambam traces it back to, back in the day, there was an idolatrous practice that they used to cook a goat in the milk of its calf, mother. And that was like some sort of idolatrous thing, and that's why the Torah prohibited you from eating muscle chalav, you know? That's like a reason why Hashem commanded us in the mitzvah. But that's not the same thing as saying the reason why you have to build a fence on your roof is because you have to prevent someone from falling off. That's not the reason why Hashem commanded. That's what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is preventing someone from falling off. Now, not the maisa mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah is building a fence. But that's like the inyan mitzvah. It's like that's... And you know, it's part of, like, what is the mitzvah? It's building a fence and thereby stopping someone from falling off. So it's almost like the kiyam mitzvah. It's like the objective. What are you doing in the mitzvah is that you are preventing someone from falling off your house. So even though the technical tzura is to build a wall, but it's part of the mitzvah itself, the halachic, not the technical formulation, but that's the inyan, the real fulfillment of the mitzvah. But like in Basar HaChalav, it's not a matter of you're not doing Avodah Zarah through eating Basar HaChalav. That's just the reason why Hashem constructed the mitzvah that way, you know? So I'd say here also in Peruvu, it's not like it's a mitzvah to technically have kids. Why? Because that helps fill the world. The mitzvah is Peruvu Zarah. That's what it is. It's the Indian of the mitzvah is filling the world. So to not incorporate that into the structure of the mitzvah and to you know, totally make that philosophy and make the mitzvah into a technical action of having kids is like is stepping away from the whole nature of this mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that has, it's not like a chok, it's a mitzvah that has the time built into it. Like chokim, you could say that. Chok is, there's a reason, of course, why Hashem gave the chok, but halachically the mitzvah is a technical structure of mitzvah, you know? But this is the very structure of the mitzvah itself is built implicit in the mitzvah, is building the world. You know what I mean? So now the question is, so what's this whole deal with the neshamas, right? So what's the solution, right? This is what the Gemara has to come up with. So it says, because of Rav Asi, right? Because of Rav Asi. Okay. So, I forgot to tell you one part. The Tosfos Yeshanim, did I tell you the Yeshanim? No. He asks the Kasha, because there's another Chazal that seems to contradict him. which says that if Kal Yisrael would keep two Shabbosos, then immediately there would be a Geula. Okay. Ah, so he says, but what do you mean? But what about the Neshama box? So you're telling me Ben David and Mashiach is not going to come until all the Neshamas and the Neshama box are emptied out. So let's say there are a million Neshamas left. And then all of a sudden, Kal Yisrael keeps two Shabbosos. Then what's going to happen? So they're contradictory.
Where does it say the first thing that...
The Neshama box?
Yeah.
It's this Chazal. Rav Asi, Ein Ben David, based on Apostle.
Another place where they bring in the Neshama box?
No, this is just what... Yeah, Ein Ben, this is it. It's talking about Rav Asi. There's a statement out there of Rav Asi, but she learns that from Pasuk, that Mashiach's not going to come until all the Neshamas from this bar, from the Neshama box empty out. So the Tosi Shanmei asks, it's a stira to this other Gemara in Shabbos, which says that if that it was soon as Kal Yisrael would keep two Shabbosos, and Miad, they're going to be a Nigal. Right? So how do you resolve them? Right?
Maybe all the Neshamas come out once that happens.
That's what he says. He says, what's it better? He says what's going to happen is what then the Kiddush Shabbos, then they're going to have like a nace. It's going to be like six babies born at a time, and all the Neshamas are going to empty out.
Like
in the Tzrayim, exactly. Exactly. But you see, he's taking it seriously. I'll tell you that.
Sounds like it.
Sounds like he's taking it seriously, right? Doesn't sound like he's learning it to be too metaphorical here, right? So then, and they're just using this thing to apply to Peruvu.
Right.
So it sounds like it's you can't just say it means the mitzvah Peruvu is just to have kids.
Right.
Something, it's just saying it in a funny way, but that's what it means. No, it's talking about this like a real thing. You know? Mm-hmm. By the way, as an aside, I'll just tell you a pshat about, I don't know whose pshat this was, years ago, but about the two Shabbos this thing. Is because, what's pshat in two Shabbos? What about one Shabbos? You know? So then he said, "Is like you know, there's like a thing. Like you could always get somebody to keep one Shabbos. You see, there's like a Shabbaton, whatever, like about Shuvah thing. You know, it's like keeping one Shabbos could be like an emotional thing. Come, it'll be a nice Shabbos experience. It'll be, you know, but like to keep two Shabbos is really like a commitment to Shabbos. You know, like you don't. There's nothing exciting about the second Shabbos. The first Shabbos is an idea of novelty. You know what I mean? But to get Kal Yisrael as that whole to keep two Shabbos is that means like." Actually attached to Shabbos is an ideal. It's not just like, you know, some sort of just a movement, you know. It's like, it reminds me of like when we have, similar to when we set up, we have Shiur on like a night or something, you know. Or, and Shiur in general. If you ever set up a Shiur, it's like the first time there's like 10 guys and then the next day there's like 5, you know. Coming to one Shiur is easy. It's coming to two Shiur which is harder, you know. It's just the way things are. Like new things have a novelty and whatever, you know. Okay,
is
fine.
There consecutive Shabbos?
I guess so. I don't know. I didn't look at it tomorrow, but just remember, it's like a good point. It's like, you know, it's easy to get yourself psyched up to do something, but there's no mitzvah to do something one time. I mean, that's not the ultimate. The point of, like, anything in your life is to make a real commitment and a real change and whatever. So if you're going on, like, a high and you're just getting yourself to do something forcefully, you've got to realize, is this a legitimate thing which is, could be maintained? What really matters in a person's life is something they can maintain. To do something once is like very nice, but whatever, it's not real, it's not real. So, okay, fine. So that's a slight point. So, okay, so I asked Rabbi about this thing, right? So this is what he said. Taking the steps. First step is that, what does Mashiach have anything to do with this thing? Why are you talking about Mashiach? What is Mashiach doing with Mashiach, you know? All together. Fine, Mashiach doesn't come until Neshamas and blah blah blah. But this is Peruvu, it says I know the Mashiach. Right? Okay, so he said like this. And this is the part I think I could develop a little further than he did, but I'll just tell you what he said first, is that Peruvu is a mitzvah, is about Yishuv Olam, right? Which is like populating the world, building the world in a proper state, bringing about the proper world order, right? And he says Mashiach, the most of Mashiach is the ultimate Yishuv Olam. And the ultimate, like, goal of the world is, like, lo sover al shabbos yitzar, the world was created to bring about people. But the ultimate realization of Earth, of the world, is the Milas Mashiach. Because Milas Mashiach is when the whole world will be unified under the banner of Yad Hashem, Malars, Kalars, Deas Hashem. So that's, like, this the ultimate state of the social, you know, order in the world is the Milas Mashiach. Right? That's what it means. There'll be shalom, and everyone will be organized. Like we talk about in like Rosh Hashanah, you know, the world will recognize God, and that's the ultimate proper, you know, order for the world. So he's saying is like, so let's take it as a given first time being is that having emptying out the neshama box will bring Mashiach. Okay, which we have to explain, of course, but let's take that together. So he's saying is that the mitzvah of Purva is Yeshiva Olam. So he's holding that the Yeshiva Olam could be accomplished not through having the children and having children who live, but through the Yeshiva Olam, through bringing about Yimas Mashiach. Because that's, there's two ways you could bring about the proper state of the world. One is like through quantity of like actually having lots of people on earth, but another way is qualitatively is through bringing about Yimas Mashiach, which is the proper state of the world. You know what I mean? So that's like, that's also involved in the Mitzvah Peruvu. And he holds that the Mitzvah Peruvu could be accomplished through that, you know, through that route as well. You know, or only as well. That's what's a little tricky. But, so you with me so far? Yeah? Okay. So that's one, so that's the first step. Is that, Yosef Mashiach is part of Yishevol. Okay, so then he said, what's this pshat about the Neshamos? So he wanted to say that, like, you see that the Ravasi, like, he holds like a Ravasi. Apparently it's not so simple, the Ravasi, whether this is even true or not, this Neshama thing, you know? That's part of the Machlokas, it seems like, arguably. So he wanted to say is that, what does it mean? Like, the question is like this, is that you have man, and man is comprised of two parts. Okay, you have this physical body, like all other animals, and then you have this Samalokam, which is like this non-physical Neshama, whatever it is, right? Like God imbued into Adam, Tamalakim, right? And whatever, right? So there's a separate thing of Tamalakim. So the question is like, how does that, how exactly, or not how exactly, but how does a new baby, each person, so to speak, get a Tamalakim? Where does that come from? Right? What's the, how does that work? Okay? Philosophical question, you know? So he says you can envision two different ways of how that works out. One way is like it's implanted in Bria, in the laws of nature, or whatever, call them what you want, that like you could reproduce life, right? And part of life, part of what man is the Samalakim. And together with reproducing life, babies are born with neshamas. It's just like built in, just like there's a law, how could you reproduce life? But I don't know, somehow it's part of the process of the natural thing that you could pass on life to the next generation. And similarly, the neshama, the new babies are born. That's just the way the laws of nature is. When babies are born, they have neshamas. It's like somehow an emergent property in life. So that's what man is. Man, when animals are born, they don't have neshamas. When people are born, they do have it. So you don't know exactly how it works, how to, what law of nature is it in the DNA, yada, whatever. You know, it's not the point. The point is, it's like through the Archetava. It's built into the laws that when you have a baby, then there's a, you know. So then you don't need a neshama box. If that's the case, then you don't need a mini-make. And the neshama box, by the way, Rashi is saying, is like, they say it's like a box, a storage, meshesha meberashis, of these neshamas. But if you say that it's just built into the natural law that man could have, when Homo sapiens is born, he has a neshama. However that works, then you don't need to have a box of neshamas made from Sheshi Mebrachis. They regenerated, they reproduced, so to speak, with each new child. Right? But the other way to look at it is that no, is that reproduction takes place in the physical body. And the neshama is a separate, non-physical entity which somehow is associated with the body. So you can't naturally, reproduction can't do that, but rather the neshama has to be, so to speak, imbued from without. Has to be put into man as a separate entity, which is put into the, whatever it means, loosely speaking, put into his body, or attached to his body. So if that's the case, so now the neshama has to be created at some point. Now, you could say that you just God creates new neshamas every single time baby is born, but in general, that's, in creation, Yesh Me'ayin, took place at Sheish Me'ayin. So God isn't constantly creating new things every single second. He set up laws, you know, which isn't constantly creating new neshamas. So therefore, the reasonable thing to say is, if you say that neshama has to be a separate thing which is put in from without, presumably in Sheish Me'ayin, when he made the world, then he said he made these neshamas. And it means they're in storage, means they're not, doesn't mean there's actually a box, but it means however these neshamas, whatever these things are existing, and they're separate things which are existing, waiting for, so to speak, as a mashal, in storage, for people to be born, and then the person's born, then he gets his neshama. He gets his soul again. So like these entities, which are separate, created from Shesha Mibrachas, are waiting to be imbued, instilled into a person. Right? So far, so good? Okay. But, yeah. Oh, fine. So, no, this is true. Even if you say this is a Shama Box thing, presumably there's some, so to speak, natural mechanism that takes the neshama out of the box and puts it into the kit. But the point is, though, it's like it's taking something from without. It's like there's a separate entity which exists somewhere out there, so to speak, and the kid is born, and the neshama, this pre-existing entity of a neshama, has to come into the thing. It's not like it's generating a neshama. It's the neshama has to exist and somehow naturally be hooked into it. As opposed to the first way, it's like somehow a natural process of you reproduce life, you also reproduce a neshama. It's not like it somehow maybe borrows from the neshama of the parents. I don't know. Who knows how it works? You know what I mean? But it's not. It's like they didn't have to pre-exist. It's just like, is there, in one way you're looking at it, it's like there's neshama waiting there, so wherever there is, like the, you know, the end of the person. As opposed to the other way is it just emerges with the emergence of the person, emerges the neshama. Two different ways of looking at it. You know. Right? It's a purely, I mean, I don't really know how to prove this type of thing. This is right. Just you know, a different theory. Okay. So fine. So now what? So now you have these neshamas, right? Fine. Now the question is, so what do they have to be born before Mashiach comes? So this says Mashiach's not going to come until all the neshamas are born. Look, so let's say, look, oh, here's the first one. One more step before that. So you're saying is that, let's, if you learn that there are separate entities of neshamas have to be created, so now the creation is in the place of Shesha Mibrachas. God created the world in Shesha Mibrachas. He's not creating the world every single second. He created the world once. So you're going to have to say he created all the neshamas. Now how many? There had to be an amount. So God had it with his divine wisdom, pick an amount. Let's call it a billion. I don't know. So it's obviously much more than that. A trillion. Let's call it a trillion. So he made a trillion neshamas, right? He had to pick a number, right? And the number is going to be based upon how many lives. There's a quantity. He picked numbers. He picked all the numbers in the universe. He picked numbers in the laws of physics. He picked numbers in neshamas are there going to be. Right? So say it's a trillion. So now, whenever you're born, you just want to put on the neshamas whenever you have a baby. Now, why do you have to have all these neshamas before Mashiach comes? Let's say everyone does tshuva, and now Mashiach should come. Now, what do we have to use? Let the neshamas be born after Mashiach. All right, what do you need to get them in for before Mashiach? Mashiach can't come until we use up all the neshamas. So use the neshamas afterwards. There's still going to be people after Mashiach. It's not like there's not going to be any people anymore. So use up the neshamas then. And anyways, where are you going to get neshamas from then? Where are those guys going to be born from? Right? So the whole thing, it doesn't really... So you say like this, is that... See, the neshama, one thing he says like this, is that there's a Ramban who says, is that and I think this is... It's based on Pesachim. Is that the world in Yerusha Mashiach is going to be different. And the Ramban learns differently, I think. But the Ramban learns that the world is going to be different in Yerusha Mashiach, which is essentially the world will be organized under Das Hashem, knowledge of God. And it says, like, the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'hasirosius leiv ha'evem nebesachem, V'arpecham lo sakshuo, that God will remove your stone heart and your nafs won't be stiff anymore. Which means is like there will be a change in man's nature and in the world order that essentially man's bechira will be very limited. Man will like sort of naturally be good. You see, Ramban compares it to like Adam Rishon Kodem Achay. It's like man will naturally be drawn towards the good and towards Torah and towards knowledge and towards, you know, towards God. And essentially be like a whole different type of a world. Okay, and this world is the world where man has like a full range of bechira. Every person has the ability, capacity, and the obligation, whatever, the natural things. They have to choose between Tov and between Ra, between Chayim and between Mavas. And that's, he says, the neshama, the human neshama or whatever, was designed in a way that it should exist in this world, which is a world of Bechira, which means that the neshama chooses freely whether it's going to go for Tov or for Ra. That's the way the neshama was designed to exist in this world. In the pre-Yemosa Mashiach world, the world of Tov and Ra, the world of Bechira. Okay, and the world of after Yemosa Mashiach is a different world. It's a different world, and there's no, the Bechira is different. Let's call it, there's no Bechira. It's not, maybe it's, there's some Bechira, whatever. We know that's not Bechira. And this neshamas were created to exist. Because if you're creating a neshama for one world, it's a different world. It demands different neshamas, a different type of person. So you're saying the neshamas were created to exist in this world where they're free to weigh truth and to weigh their emotions and to be able to choose freely between Tov and Ra, in the world of Muslim Mashiach is not going to be that kind of a world. The emotions will be totally overpowered by the knowledge which is intrinsic and manifest in the world. So what he's saying is that Ein Ben David Ba Jichlan Shama Shabaguf means these neshamas were constructed for this world. They're not constructed for that world. That's a different world. So therefore, these neshamas have to be born before, you know, before Mashiach comes, because then as God designed that there should be a certain amount of neshamas which are born, which come into existence, which have v'chira, which are in this realm of v'chira before Yom HaMashiach. You know what I mean? So if like I think what Tosis means is if Klai Yisrael does tshuva and they deserve whatever, then it'll mean that quickly God will make work out. I mean, the nes. What it means, the point is that we'll be on a fast track. People have a lot of kids. I don't know if I necessarily have to say it's like miracles or sick, whatever it is. But I think that's what it means, is that if they do tshuva right away, miyadi and agala means there's nothing going to get in the way. It's going to quickly, you know, race through all the kids, and they're going to, you know, something like that, you know.
It's not a contradiction, really.
Because
you could, one just telling you like an idea that if they were to do tshuva,
right.
But you could say that's the God number that.
I know that God chose. Yeah. I know you could answer that, but that doesn't seem like those is the same.
I don't know why he's putting like.
I don't know, yeah. But that's what he said. Like, I know, you could have just said God knows one thing in the tshuva, so God incorporated that into the number of neshamas he created. But Tosis isn't saying that. So I know you could have said that, but Tosis doesn't seem to be saying that. Tosis seems to say God made the number, and it's telling our mechira, and if we use the mechira properly, then we could speed it up. I don't know. It's a good question you're asking, but that isn't what Tosis is saying. It seems it's not what he's answering. Okay, so now the thing is like this. So what's the mitzvah? So now the thing is, by you having kids... Now, also, once all the neshamas run out, the neshamas is going to come. Right? Because you've reached the quantity of the neshamas for this world. Oh, now, what about neshamas afterwards? That's what I said. So what's going to happen afterwards? So, Rabbi wanted to say, I don't know. First he said, well, what about before? We're good for before? I said, yeah, we're good for before. What about after? So he said, I don't know. Maybe there'll be different neshamas or a different type of neshama then. Or so it's not talking about them, but that's it. Given that it's a different world order, presumably it's going to be a different type of being at that point, you know?
Different box.
There's a different box. I'm not talking about that box. I'm talking about this box. Okay.
Okay.
Thing like this is that with a neshama, if a person lives before Yom HaMashiach, so he lives and he chooses how to live, and he chooses the Tov, he chooses the Ra. Then when Yom HaMashiach comes, then he'll be subject to whatever happens in Yom HaMashiach. So maybe he'll be killed off in some war, or maybe he'll be subject to the good. But that's dependent on his bechira, which he exercised in this world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But to have someone born into that world, that's not... Your state in that world is dependent upon how you chose in this world. Whereas the neshamas of this world are designed to choose the tov or the ra, not to be born into a different world. That's not... That's a different type of a world, different neshamas, different plan for that world. This is the world, the transition is this world is designed to have a certain amount of people who freely choose to offer up. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean you can't live in that world, but you have to first have, you know. So as an aside, I mean, I don't think it's a question, it turns out, but I asked everybody, so let's say a kid's not bar mitzvah. You know, because you don't have bechira until bar mitzvah, so let's say you're not bar mitzvah. I shouldn't say that once a kid is born, I should say once he's bar mitzvah, because then he has his bechira. Right?
Like when you're 20 or something.
Whatever. Well, that's the onshin, whatever. So he says, maybe that, you know. They said, yeah, but we hold, what about according to Rahuna? Are you going to be yotzei the mitzvah? Let's say your kid dies before the bar mitzvah. You yotzei then? Oh, so let me get to the mitzvah thing. So what's he saying? So the mitzvah is, so back to the peruvu, how does it affect the peruvu? So he's saying it's like this. And this is, I think, maybe I'm elaborating a little bit here, but the mitzvah of peruvu is Yishuv Olam. This is fun. I'm going to elaborate the way I think to work it out here. Rebbe didn't go so far into this idea, but this is the way I'm taking it, is that halachically, how to work into this idea. The mitzvah of Peru is Yishuv Olam, right? It's to populate, to bring the world to a proper state. Now, that's realized, essentially, ultimately, through having kids who fill the world, right? But it's also realized on a lesser level through bringing about the neshamas. They're simply creating life, and this is the thing the approach you're trying to say is simply the having kids itself brings about life, okay, and brings about Yishuv Olam because it brings us one step closer to Mashiach. So that's part of Yishuv Olam is to bring about neshama. Now the fullest realization of Peruvu, of the Yishuv Olam that results in Peruvu, is where you not only have a kid and take out a neshama, but you actually build the world with the kid, right? But at least it partakes of the Kiyom Apurva of the Yishuv HaOlam simply by having the kid itself. Because having the kid itself brings a kid in one step, brings the world one step closer to Mashiach, and that brings about Yishuv HaOlam. So therefore, he holds is that the mitzvah was structured that you're Yotzei right when you have the kid, because that does the first step of Yishuv HaOlam. You know what I mean? So when he says time of the Puruvu, this is what I don't want to say, is that the mitzvah, well, one citizen holds the reason for Puruvu is to populate the world, and the other one holds the mitzvah of Puruvu is to have Mashiach. Because they're two totally different things. And what about Puruvim and Losar Tzvikivshor? What do you say about that? And Losovar Al-Shevis itself. But rather, everyone agrees it's to fill the world. But the Yishuv HaOlam, according to based on Rav Asi, could be realized in a lesser form as well. There's a basic form of Yishuv HaOlam, of bringing about the proper world order. It comes about simply by having Neshama. Bringing Neshama to the world, because thereby you bring us one step closer to Mashiach. Right? Now, the fullest realization, the fullest Yishuv HaOlam, which takes place through having a kid, is the fact that he not only is he born, but that he actually lives to whatever, has kids, and builds the world. But he holds that since it partakes of the Yishuv HaOlam immediately, so the mitzvah was structured that once, like we said earlier, is that the mitzvah is having a kid itself, because you became a mitzvah. And that's the smoothest way to formulate the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is formulated that way, and it actually does partake of Yishuv HaOlam. So if you don't hold by Rav Asi, and you hold that there's no, you don't hold by this whole Mashiach thing, you hold by the other theory of the Neshamas or whatever, so then the only Yishuv HaOlam is realized is when you actually have living kids who live till old age or whatever. So then you're going to have to go with the Rav Huna's formulation. But since Rav Huna holds by Rav Asi, so he holds that the Yishuv HaOlam begins with having the kid in the first place. So therefore he holds that the mitzvah is structured that the Maisa itself, having the kid, gives you the Kima Mitzvah. Because that itself is the first step in Yishuv HaOlam. Of course, the fullest Yishuv HaOlam is through Meluos Artzich Yeshua, is through having all the full kids who actually live and carry on this to the next generation.
Basically, we're saying
it's like a smoother formulation as a structure of mitzvah to say, look, you have the kid, you're Yotze. The other thing is like a hard thing to formulate. So the saying is that if you hold that you're involved in Puruvu right away when you have a kid, so then you'll say the Torah codified the mitzvah as the basic level. That's the basic level, and that's the Torah formulated. Look, further, great. It's a kiyum to have kids, live to ripe old age, very nice. It's good. But that's not the Yotze. You're Yotze right when you have the kid, because, what are you doing? Time of the Baravasi, you're doing that. The first step of Yishuv HaOlam. But if you don't hold by that Neshama theory, and you don't hold by Baravasi, so then having a kid is simply nothing insofar as Yishuv HaOlam. It's zero. But so what gives Yishuv HaOlam is the kid lives. So therefore you're going to have to say that the formulation is like Rabbi Yochanan. You gotta appreciate what he's doing here. Look, you may not love the pshat. I mean, I'm thinking about it more. Danny's a good question. I'm thinking about it some more. But this is like a very strange Gemara on any level, and this is certainly a rational. Look, there's still questions. It's not answering every single question. It's assuming like the Ramans on Haba, making assumptions, patching things together. But like, it's a rational way to understand this thing, and it actually ends up explaining this like in a decent type of way. Is it the most beautiful sfar in the world? Not yet. Maybe it could be. Could think about it a little bit more, but it's certainly much more inspiring than the Neshama box and the whatever. And you know, you feel at least like they're involved in like an intellectual, rational thing, which you may just not be getting to the full depth of the thing. But like, it doesn't sound ridiculous as it sounds at first sight. And like, it's, you realize this is very deep types of questions, like, you know, the nature of the soul and the Neshama and the body and the interrelated. This is like a whole area. And its involvement in how that becomes codified in the mitzvah. I mean, this is, you know, we're maybe perhaps scratching the surface. I mean, especially this conversation with Rebbe, it was really about 10 minutes altogether. So, and then I thought about it a little more and kind of elaborated some of the points. But it's an approach, you know, and as an approach, I think it's very good. You know, I think it's in general a good idea to take things in the Torah that sound unreasonable and see that they really are chachma and they're reasonable. You know, I think it's good for a person to, you know, know that the Torah is reasonable, you know, and this is, you see this, and, but it's, you know, that being said, it would be nice if we could actually work it out better, you know, I don't mean to, you know, but, you know, at least you can smile a little bit, you know, you know, as strange as it is, it's much less strange than it sounded at first. So let's think about it a little bit. The next question, let's think about it. If we get something better tomorrow, we'll do it. But the next question is it tries to bring a question from, this is very interesting, is if your children die and you have grandchildren, could that work? If they die with kids. And if so, how many kids do they have to have? And do they have to be male or female? And if one, like the whole question about the way in which grandchildren could fulfill your mitzvah approval if your children die. Is basically the Gemara further. It's not that much more. It's like 4 or 5 lines on the page here. And there's you can look at Tosfos, Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. The Rambam seems to learn different than everybody. Okay, so that should keep us busy probably for the next day or two. Okay, but let's maybe we'll get this a little better. You know? I just wanted to point out the bar mitzvah. So I asked Rabbi, I said, so this whole thing should only work if the kids are bar mitzvah. Because otherwise they don't have a chira yet. So he said, maybe it is. So I said, yeah, but what about according to Rav Huna? So you're going to say Rav Huna holds you not yotzei unless your kids are bar mitzvah before they die? Don't say anything like that. But so I kind of said, look, you could say that. He doesn't not say that. Like, we don't know what Rav Huna said. Maybe in Achlami. I mean, Rav Huna, we don't have Rav Huna Shulchan Aruch. We don't pass like him, and that's it. So he at first said, maybe like, if you don't say that, then, you know, it's a little bit forced on the facts, you know. Well, I thought afterwards, you don't have to say that, because you say, look, let's say you have a kid. You have a kid, he dies at 2 years old. Now, when he was born, he gets his neshama. Now, it's true, he doesn't develop and have bechira until he's 13 or whatever, but bottom line is the neshama goes into him, and then it doesn't go back in the box. So in terms of you being yotze, in terms of your mitzvah baruch, oh, the neshama's used up, you know. The only thing is like, you know, how exactly does it work when Mashiach comes? What about the 2-year-old kids? Those neshamas, you know, according to his theory that, you know, everybody has to have their shot at the chira, what are you going to do about 2-year-old kids at that point? Which neshamas do they have? So I don't know, that's a little tricky, but I don't know, whatever. In terms of the structure of the mitzvah, it doesn't, you know. So, you know.